All right, let's get to it. All right, this is Wednesday evening, pre-evening, 7:10:24. The title is Why Must Christians Suffer? It never ceases to amaze me how the Lord presents things to me. A lot of times, stuff I've never heard anybody else, you know, bring. But each of us have been placed, I believe, at birth, the giftings of God within us, that we have to, just because we have the giftings does not mean that we'll ever use them. Because God has a process that He takes us through to prove us worthy of the giftings He's put in us. I have known people have lots of gifts and talents, and they always want to attain to something, but they just don't ever quite make the grade. Hey, you know people like that? Well, I believe it's because God has a process that He trains each one of His children for their particular purpose in the earth. And if they don't go through that process, they will not attain to where they need to attain. So why must Christians suffer? Because it's the flesh that gets in the way. It gets in the way of what God wants to do. And so even Jesus, His own Son, had to suffer in His flesh to be the Savior of the world. So if the Son of God had to go through it, we as His sons and daughters of God, we have our own process that we have to go through. And it isn't fun. Anybody having fun? But if we look at it that it's all part of the process, it'll help us from being, how do I say, so many shipwrecked because they couldn't stand it. When the heat got hot, they got out of the kitchen. I know the first time that I was ever confronted with something like that, I got out of the kitchen. It cost me. It cost you time, delays in the plan of God, just because you didn't understand what was going on. Not having any teaching. That, to me, is the biggest fault of the church is, you know, I'm teaching on TV about the doctrine, laying down sound doctrine so people know what to expect. People know about what the Word says about things, and we have to learn those things. That's why we're to renew our mind with the Word of God. God wants us to know these things so then we're not amazed or ashamed whenever the heat comes in the kitchen. All right. Mark 8, 31. For He taught His disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill Him. And after that He is killed, He shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask Him.
Where are you at?
I'm in Mark 9, I'm sorry. Well, that sounded pretty good. That goes right along with what I'm talking about. Let me look back at that. Did Jesus have to go through some things to get to that place where He had to accept that? All right, go to 8. Hey, that was just a bonus. All right, 31. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. Same, the same thing, isn't it? And be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And He spake that saying openly, and Peter took Him again to rebuke Him. But when He had turned about and looked on His disciples, He rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when He had called the people unto Him with His disciples also, He said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This process is hard on the flesh. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. So there's going to be many stand before him that chose to keep their life in this natural world, but they lost the real life. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. I mean, there's a reason we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, right? Our lives are no longer our own. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. So we will give an accounting of what we did with what God put in us as believers. Now those that are unbelievers, well, we know, you know, that's not good. But he's going to say, okay, like the parable of the talents, we're going to look at that. He gave us certain things and we're responsible to make the right choices and the right decisions. He's given us everything we need to be able to do that. My thing is I want any new believer to know what's expected of them. I think that's something that they need to know. They're not always guessing, or they can't stand before the Lord and say, well, Lord, I didn't know. All right. We, like Peter, when we hear about suffering, want to also balk. Who wants to suffer? Nobody. Who wants to? There's something wrong with somebody who wants to suffer. Do you know anyone that wants to? Know anybody that wants to suffer? Don't they call that something? For us to get to the place to fully obey God, the flesh has to suffer. Because see, the flesh wants to get in the way. The flesh wants its own way. So as a Christian, we have to learn to put our body under. Paul said, I beat my body up. I buffet it. I keep it under. I won't let it rule. I won't let it take the place it wants to take, because it sure wants to. All right. Suffer means to experience a sensation or impression, usually painful. All right. Hebrews 5, verse 8. That's my biggest beef with the church right there. And I love the church. It's the body of Christ. But why didn't they teach us these things from the beginning? I think they were afraid to. I think if they really told them the truth, nobody come back. Just saying. All right, verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. All right, Jesus had to suffer in preparation for his crucifixion alone. You know, I was reading about the Shroud of Turin in that documentary, and I'm telling you, about halfway through, I was nauseous. I had to quit watching it. It was so brutal in what they did to him. And he was nearly dead before they even crucified him. He was just near death. He was so broken and so beat up. And they just described in detail what they did. I just had to turn it off. I said, Lord, I just can't understand it. What all he went through for us. It was bad. All right, 1 Peter 4. It's a good documentary. It even, through imaging, they actually can see his features. It's quite amazing. All right, 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. For As much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Boy, that says it all, doesn't it? There's a rhyme and a reason behind it all. We don't have to be amazed and think, what the heck is going on? Yeah. Just having talent is not enough. You have to be proven first. That's why many people that have great talents never attained anything, because they didn't pay the price to have those talents and use them for God. All right. Matthew 25. Start with 14 there. Jesus speaking here, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. And he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his money, Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside thee 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man. It'd be easy to think, going through the suffering, that, God, you're a hard man. This is, why does it have to be so hard? So hard at times you don't think you can bear it. Thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Boy, that's pretty strong. These were servants. These were not, I guess, people of the world. A lot of times I think it's viewed that way, but I don't see it that way. I see it as those that God gave a stewardship, and they did not pursue it. They didn't want to pay the price. It was just too hard. You know, I didn't do it. I quit going to church years ago. I know a lot of people in that state. They got tired of the church and the things, and they weren't getting anything, so they just quit. And they're just out there somewhere. A lot of them full of talents. Got lots of wonderful things in their life to use for the kingdom of God. But they're just doing their own thing. I pray for them, Lord, wake them up, shake them awake before it's too late. Because they don't want to be standing in the position that these guys were. Not at all. All right. God has put his greatness in each of us, but we must be proven for that greatness to come out. He is not going to allow you to take his gifts and use them without the proving. Because he has to know that you're going to follow his orders, not your flesh. Y'all see that? Okay. He is really doing you a favor. He is doing you a favor to do that. All of us. Even though it don't seem too great sometimes, wherever you are, it doesn't seem great. It seems awful, really, actually. But He gives us His grace to call upon, to make it a day at a time if we have to, a minute at a time if we have to. Can you make it a minute? Okay, I made it a minute. Well, I can make it another minute. All right. Like I said, my first time that I confronted this hardness like this, I got out of the kitchen. I didn't understand. You know, that's what I mean. I want people to know this isn't a walk in the park. Mm-mm. Now, I think it can be later, but, you know, anytime you, like the military, for instance, you're not going to be a Navy SEAL by going by the easy way, or a Texas Ranger, or any of the special op groups. They put them through brutal training, but they do exploits. Well, God's people will do exploits for Him, but it's because they've been proven that He can trust them. Hope y'all don't want to back out. No, we're not backing out. We're going through. The Lord says we're coming out the other side of this. We've passed the test. We've stayed the course. We held the line. We're like Mel Gibson in that flag running up that hill saying, "Move forward," when everybody else was retreating. Just Him alone, they saw that flag and they turned around and went back up and took the hill. An unbeatable, massive army of the British soldiers. They took the hill. All right. Delays. It's not God's delays. He has not delayed you. You have delayed yourself over the years. Like I said, with me, I know. I delayed. And it's grievous. I mean, the Lord, Danny had a word about that there's times we've missed it and we paid dearly for it. Yeah. Oh, it's how you respond to the suffering is necessary for your greatness that God has placed in you. His glory. He wants His glory to come through you as a vessel. But He gets all the glory. He will not give His glory to anybody. Not even the best of them. He will not give them His glory. Okay, Acts 12. I think if we can come to an understanding of it, we realize that it's a necessary thing. Father knows best. Because He's told us that He is doing these things so in the future we won't fail. As we walk this out and we prevail, we won't fail. He knows what He's doing. He knows just exactly what to use for each person. All right, this is 12:25. We're going to look at somebody in the scriptures. You probably know who I'm talking about. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Yeah. Chapter 13. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius, a Cyrenian man in which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Pamphilus, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. In other words, they got into some heavy warfare. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hands. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returned to Jerusalem. He's saying, whoa, whoa, this is not what I signed up for. The heat come in the kitchen, and he couldn't take it. He had to go home to mama. Well, there's some good news. Back in, I think it's 2 Timothy, I wrote it down. Yeah. He calls for them to bring John. He says, he is now profitable for me in the ministry. So John Mark, who wrote the book of Mark, from what I understand, he is the one that had to go back and learn, delayed because of what he had to deal with. He wasn't prepared. He wasn't ready. I can't blame a John Mark. I've been a John Mark. We all have in some way or another. He couldn't stand the heat, so he got out of the kitchen. All right. There's a few things the Lord spoke to me. I think it was Tuesday morning. Or it might have been the first day. I've got them kind of mixed up here. He talked about a group called the Pissy Patties. Pissy Patties? All right, I'm going to read to you what a Pissy Patty is. All right. I had someone that was a friend, and they were raised in a real staunch Pentecostal church, and they did not like any correction of any kind. You don't dare correct them about anything. But they constantly judged others and talked bad about others. But if you come against them, they reversed it all on you. And this woman in this group, she asked me to pray for her, and I've told you all this story before. She asked me to pray for her, and the Lord told me what was going on, why she was having the problem. And I told her, and it made her mad. And sometime later, she accused me of being judgmental. And I thought, everything that I observed in their life, because when they would trash people, we'd sit there and be quiet. Wouldn't say anything. But everything that they did, they accused me of. Well, Danny too, really. So this is the kind of things we're dealing with in the church. It's because they come up under somebody that was really toe the line, word of God, and they thought, bless God, I ain't ever going to stay there. They ain't going to make me do nothing. They ain't going to boss me around. That's how they looked at it, instead of maybe somebody that might keep them in line. And I don't know where they are today. I hope God is shaking them to their teeth rattle, honestly, so they can come to the truth and realize, you know, just because the Holy Spirit corrects you about something, you know, a lot of people, they'll leave the church over that and they'll never come back. You'll never see them again. Just because God does use leaders to correct. I know there's going to be a lot of people disillusioned, and all the prophets and the apostles step up and begin to do their job. They're going to go, what happened, you know? Why would the Lord have that? Because he's trying to help us. He's trying to keep us from shipwrecking and going the way of so many, wasting our talents instead of fulfilling the plan of God. I mean, I don't know the percentage of people that actually even go to church anymore. And I certainly don't know the percentage of people that are actually using their gifts and talents for God and they've been proven. I don't know. I hope there's a bunch of them. I know the churches I've been in, I ain't seen much. We've been in a few, and we've been in a few church messes. Yeah. I can see why people wouldn't want to go. All right. If you correct them, they get offended at the one that is doing the correction. There's another group, they have to be constantly propped up. Or they can't make it. Are you one that whatever comes, you can stand and you don't have to be propped up? I'm telling you, John Mark was one of those. He thought he was strong. Here he is on an apostolic team, and first rattle out of the box, this man shows up with that had demons and did witchcraft. He said, no, I didn't sign up for this. I'm telling you, the Lord expects maturity in his body. We're not in it to just go to church and just have a nice little Sunday or a nice Wednesday. We're here to do God's bidding. That's the purpose of the church. We are a body that's supposed to be moving throughout the earth and absolutely running the devil out of everything and getting people born again right and left. That's God's will, the Great Commission. Because it's his will that not anyone perish, but all come to repentance. I'm telling you what, Paul didn't mince words at times. He had to do some hard things, and I'm sure he was probably hated by some people. Okay, let me see where I left off here. It doesn't matter how many talents or gifts that you have, the character must be developed first to be able to utilize those gifts for God. That he can trust you, that they're his talents. That's not your talent where you can go make a bunch of money off of it. No, it's for him. All right. Okay. Let's look at a few scriptures here. Romans 8, 18. I know when I got out of the kitchen, you know, you try to justify yourself saying, well, they were just mean. They weren't very nice or whatever, you know, if they treat you. I mean, there was a few occasions at this church. There was several male ministers there that absolutely did nothing. All their work ended up on my desk. And when the janitor, so-called one of the ministers, didn't do his job, the pastor would jump on me and say, get up and sweep that instead of going and telling that guy that's the janitor, why don't you do it? Well, I realized at that time the Lord was trying to get me to suck it up and just get up and do it instead of getting resentful and thinking they don't do anything. They need to be doing something. See what I mean? It's hard. It's hard at times to put up with people and their quirky ways. All right. Romans 8, 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The glory is greater than the suffering. All right. 2 Corinthians 1, 5 through 7. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. It's not like you're just going to suffer and you never see anything good. No, there's a consolation prize for submitting to it. And with my black and white type of personality, I mean, you know, it's real easy to say, well, it was all their fault. No, it wasn't their fault. They were who they were, and God was trying to see what I was made of, and he was probably pretty disappointed in me at that time. But what do? You dust yourself off, and you get back up, and you hit it again. And so we've had some opportunities to show him we're made of better stuff than he thought we were. All right, Philippians chapter 3. So if you flunk the test, you probably get to take it over. So I've been asking the Lord, I said, Lord, am I passing? Am I passing? Am I at least making a D? Is D still passing? No. D plus? Yeah. All right, Philippians 3:10. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So, you know, Paul, he had a hard road to hoe. Like I said before, I'd like to read the books when he was on the backside of the desert before he came on the scene. What all he went through, what all God, you know, led him through. He's leading us. Okay, Hebrews 2:10. Just let somebody get on the wrong side of you and you see what comes out. That's a good gauge. All right, 2:10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Oh, don't like that word. Sufferings. Really, Lord? Really? It stinks. 1 Peter chapter 4. But maybe it'll help you to have a better perspective of where you're at and that it's not forever. All right. Verse 1. For as much then as Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of right, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin, and I think it has begun at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. The Lord knows where you're at, and He knows just what He's doing. I'm so thankful to know that. Then, right here, verse 1 of chapter 5, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and as a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Yeah, he certainly knew. All right, Hebrews 12. All right, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He hated it too. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when not rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. In other words, don't get so bogged down and grieved over what's happening to you. Keep in mind what is really going on, and that good times are coming. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. In other words, don't let it make you bitter. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Talk about getting out of the kitchen. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. All right, y'all. Right here, one more thing. Chastening, tutorage, education or training, by implication, disciplinary correction. He wants you to do it right. And after you go through the correction, you will. All right.